Well, good morning, CPC. I'm Dan Reed, one of the pastors here. It's a privilege as we continue in this base camp series, gaining and then applying these essential tools for the Christian life. And today's a pretty hot subject, really, when we talk about God's will, God's leading, God's wisdom. How do we apply it, find that and apply it to our lives? And it affects our decisions. When you think about it, someone once said that we are the sum of all the decisions that we make. And I think there's real truth to that. As we sit here today and we think about our story, we have made decisions regarding our education, regarding family, marriage, about where we live, how many kids we're going to have. And then that graduates to some of us maybe thinking about, as I prepare for retirement, and then boy, I got a big decision on what does that look like and what am I going to do in retirement? We are the sum of our decisions. And I'm sure for some of us, we look at it and say, well, that's not entirely true because I have had other people in my life that had influence over me that made poor decisions. And I'm living with the effects of that. That's true. And there's also some of us and say, boy, I have made some very dumb decisions and I'm dealing with the regret of that. In fact, if my life was a book, there may be entire chapters that I just want ripped out so others can't see it. And I don't ever want to talk about it because that was so painful because I made those dumb decisions. And really, what we're about today is how to not make dumb decisions. You know, to be in track, hasn't it a good title for the talk today? Don't make dumb decisions that you'll regret later. And here's the good news. We have a God who allows us to call him Father, and he loves us, and he does what any loving father would do. And that is he wants to give good counsel to us and have us hear that. And for some of us, maybe this idea of hearing from God is kind of weird and mystical. And yeah, I recognize that. You're thinking, well, did God really lay that on you? Or was it something you ate last night, something spicy? You know, so yeah, we've had some of those things go on in all of our lives. And maybe there's others of us that look at this and say, you know, does God actually speak audibly? And we're not going to talk about God speaking audibly to us today. I have never had God speak audibly to me. And I think if he chose to do that, I would not hear a word because I would be flat on my face, fainted, I think, and miss any syllable of what he might have to say. On Friday, I took my youngest daughter down to Azusa Pacific University down in Southern California. It was Parents Weekend. It's the start of the school year. And there were freshmen that were moving in, and we were watching all these freshmen trying to figure out how to do it. And my daughter's actually a transfer student. She's a junior. So we got her housing taken care of, and then we began to explore the campus. And I'm thinking, as I'm looking out in the commons, I'm thinking, that's what all these kids are thinking right now at this Christian school. The will of God. What is that? And I know for my daughter, it's the same kind of thing as she's there even as a junior. And I couldn't help but be nostalgic. And I'm thinking about when I was in college, I was thinking about, you know, 30, 35 years ago as I'm walking into onto my college commons for the first time. And I was trying to imagine what I was wearing. And it was probably, you know, parachute pants and, you know, a velour shirt, you know, maybe sporting a mullet. You know, things have changed. But really, have they changed? Because I was dealing with those same questions. How do I discover God's plan? How do I learn to follow his guidance? How do I not make dumb decisions? And I remember those prayers. God, should I major in business or should I major in biology? God, is there a girl here for me? Should I take a computer science class or should I take the history class? What kind of career do I want? Is there a girl here for me? So many options, and I didn't want to make a dumb decision. So as I thought about all this, I was firing up these prayers for the APU faculty and support. What an awesome position they are in to influence these students, to influence my daughter, to help them sort through these decisions, to help them see God's plan unfold and have them work through and trust God and not be caught up in all the anxiety that goes with these kinds of decisions. And I also fired up some prayers for the parents as well as I'm looking around. In fact, somebody from CPC actually texted me a picture from an Instagram post from the campus on this family week. And in the back, there was, they circled the guy. Is that you? And it wasn't me. He kind of looked like me. He was an anxiety-ridden 50-something guy that was on his way to the finance office to try to figure out how to pay for their kids' education. And I made that walk, too. And I got there. So I'm in the waiting room with a couple of guys, and we're thinking, you know, for sure God's will is that our kids will learn that it's God's will that they eventually move out of the house and they eventually get their own job and become independent. I can't cite you chapter and verse, but I'm sure that's in the scriptures somewhere. That's God's plan for our kids. But today, the big idea is this. We can learn to recognize wisdom and follow God's guidance. So I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And today we're going to be teaching in verses 1 through 6. And while you're turning there, I want to give you a framework to help us understand God's guidance. And when we think about this whole idea of God's will, God's guidance, it really boils down to one of three areas. We have to look at all this in one of three areas. So when the Bible talks about it, you got to think through these areas. The first is God's providential will. That word providential means that God has a perfect plan and God is going to do what God's going to do no matter what. He's in control. He's sovereign. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, no matter what. But he chooses to use men and women, even people like you and me, to accomplish his providential will. And for us to recognize God's wisdom and follow God's guidance, we need to grow in our understanding of God and his unfolding plan that's laid out in Scripture. So there's some examples, some very specific and familiar examples of God's providential will. First of all, God the Father sent Jesus, his son, to earth. God did it. He was going to do it no matter what. It wasn't because the people prayed for it or wasn't because we deserved it. It was God's perfect plan to save mankind. And then God chose to use men and women to carry that out. He used Mary to give birth to Jesus and be Jesus' mother. And we look back in the Old Testament, God used Abraham to establish a homeland for people that would impact all of the world. That was God's plan. And then he used Joseph to save that nation from starvation. And then he used Moses to establish these people as a nation, taught these people how to live. And then he used John the Baptist to announce the Savior. And then he used the Apostle Paul to carry the good news, and on and on and on and on. God makes these things happen no matter what. And he uses men and women to help carry it out. A second piece of God's will is his moral will. This is like the thou shalt's or the thou shalt not. Those timeless moral truths that were the same yesterday, today, and forever. And these are things we really don't need to pray for in terms of guidance. I don't have to pray, you know, Lord, should I cheat on my taxes this year? Give me your will on that, huh? We know his will. It's spelled out in this moral will. It gives us a sense of clarity of what God's will is in terms of decisions. And when I abide by God's moral will, I'm going to better then understand some of those personal nuances that go on in my own life in terms of different decisions that I need to make. And that's that third piece, his personal will. And this is why most of us tune into talks on God's will and God's guidance. It's because we want to know the answers to these personal questions such as, you know, car or truck, job here, job there, move in, move out, whatever it might be, because we don't want to make dumb decisions. So this big picture is, the more familiar we become with God's providential will and God's moral will, recognizing that he is sovereign, and there's definitely a right way to live, and there's definitely things we should stay away from, we'd be better able to determine how guidance will work in these subtleties of life. So we need to have this growing, working knowledge and obedience to the words of God, to the works of God that reveal this providential and moral will. And that's why Proverbs 3 is such a great place to start. And we can learn first to recognize wisdom and follow God's guidance when we commit to obey God's word. Let's look at verse 1. My son, Solomon says, do not forget my teaching. So this implies that we need to be reminded of what God says to us in the Bible. In other words, it's implied that we easily forget God's truth. And Solomon is saying, don't fall into the temptation to elevate other sources of truth to the same level of God's truth in order to find wisdom and guidance. In fact, run every decision through the filter of God's truth. Let God's truth stop you from making bad decisions, and let God's truth help you to make good decisions. And then he says, but keep my commands in your heart. He's saying, don't simply become familiar or simply hold in high esteem the ways of God, but hold the ways of God in your heart. In other words, obey the ways of God. Accept that God has a grand purpose that's to include you. And you want to be in God's will, obey those thou shalt and those thou shalt nots. If you want wisdom and God's guidance, really what he's telling us here in terms of a practical application is to establish the pattern of reading, of meditating on God's word regularly. Get to know God, your loving Heavenly Father, as well as you can if you're trying to determine how to make these decisions in your life. And if you haven't become a Christian yet, invite God's Son Jesus into your life as your personal Savior. Invite him to forgive your sins and make you a new creation. Invite him to establish an ongoing relationship with you by asking him to come and live in your heart. Because when we're Christians, we can know the ways of God, and we can also know the heart of God. We can know more and more how much he loves us, and we can love him more and more back, and we can know him more and more as we follow him. And we can experience the power of God in our lives in ways maybe we can't even imagine right now as we draw into a relationship with him. And so that's the command, but that command comes with this promise. Verse 2, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. So verse 1 is this command, and verse 2 is, theologians call this the proverbial promise, which means that in general, good things can be expected to happen when we commit to remembering God's teachings and commit to obeying his commands. So today, if you're wondering what God's will is for your life, maybe for you it starts right here. Get to know God, obey his commands, obey his moral will. So Solomon's proverb continues. We can learn to recognize wisdom and follow God's guidance when we pay attention to developing character. Verses 3 and 4. He says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So this tells me when I show more love and forgiveness, I am living out God's will. When truth is moving from my head and into my heart, and then down to my feet and into my hands, and it's affecting those around me, they're experiencing that, I am in God's will. And here's the promise that comes with that. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. So, I'm in God's will when God and people see a more loving and faithful response coming out of me. In other words, that they see me not flying off the handle in ways that I used to. When they see me standing up to temptations and no longer being enslaved like I once was. When my coworkers and my family like being around me. When I am infectious in a good way. When I love God and I love what God loves more. And I hate what God hates more. To sum it up, my character is to be chiseled to reflect more and more the likeness of Christ. And in case you have any doubt, this is absolutely the will of God for your life. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, Paul says, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality." So if you're struggling today with a personal decision, look hard, ask yourself, ask God, ask a trusted person if what you're describing violates in some way God's moral will. Because you don't want to make a dumb decision and live with the regret of that. So, you know, an example, God, you know, I'm really not sure if my girlfriend and I are compatible. And we may be wanting to get married, but God, should we move in together first? Because, you know, I don't buy a new pair of shoes without trying them on first. We got to test this out and make sure that we are compatible. And you know what? We don't even need to pray about that because we already know that that violates God's moral will. That marriage is to be built on a commitment that is safe and secure within this marriage covenant. That's God's moral will. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul says here, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve." Test and approve what? What God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I think that's important for us to focus on. God's will is good. God's will is pleasing. God's will is perfect. So when I read the actual words in the New Testament, in terms of the subject of God's will and guidance, there really is very little emphasis on the kinds of decisions that we stress over. Instead, the primary emphasis is on godly character and on daily obedience. So really, God doesn't care as much about where we work. He cares most about how we work. That God really doesn't care where we live. He cares more about how we live. And God really doesn't care who we marry as long as it's within the family of faith, but how well we do marriage. Pastor Larry Osborne from North Coast Church, one of my favorite pastors here on the West Coast, down in Southern California, he says this in his book, 10 Dumb Things Smart Christians Believe. What a great title for a book, huh? So he says, our job is not so much to find something, it is to become someone, a reflection of his image and character, no matter where we find ourselves. There's actually a lot of freedom in that, isn't there? So it'd be unfair for me to address these personal decisions that we need to make regarding school, family, job, location. And we're going to do that in a moment. But really, right now, we can't underestimate that most of God's will is revealed and easily within reach in our understanding. Because the Bible is full of these guidelines, these commands, these principles. And with these basics in hand, we can know what to do, what not to do, what to think, and how to live, no matter how unusual or complex our particular personal situation is. And it's appropriate for us to ask, as we are dealing with this discussion, a question like this: do I really want to follow God's will if it doesn't agree with my will? Our problem seems not to be a lack of knowledge about His guidance, but a lack of obedience to follow through on that guidance. So think about how you make decisions right now. What do we want when we make decisions? We want data. We want options. We want knowledge. We want consultants to help us. We want our will to be done. Sure, we're interested in God's point of view. Everybody here today is interested in God's point of view. But we need to be clear here that God isn't a consultant. God only knows how to do God. That's it. And that leads us now to probably two of the most familiar verses in likely the Old Testament. Because for us to follow God's guidance, we need to trust God in all things. Verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with, what's that next word?
All.
There it is. I don't want to trust Him with all. I want to trust Him with part so I can keep my options open. And then He gives us the contrast here. And lean not. It means to not put your weight on or depend on your own understanding. What's that, our own understanding? Well, that's our own abilities to sort things out. You're probably thinking, well, I'm a pretty good problem solver. So He's saying, don't lean on your own ability to solve problems like you do at work. Don't lean on your ability to be financially savvy. Some of us here are very financially savvy. Don't lean on your ability to do well relationally. Some of us here are really good relationally. He's saying, get beyond your own understanding and trust in Me with all your heart. And then in what? All your ways. So not just the specific area in which you're praying about, that specific area that you're thinking about right now, where you've got to make a personal decision on. He's saying, think about it. He's saying, trust Him in all ways. Submit to Him. In the original language, it means, he adds force to it. He says it means to be riveted. It means to be focused in all your ways. And that means as we try to make a decision in one personal area over here, we need to be very clear and very obedient to God's will where it's perfectly clear over here. Pray here, trust God here, but also continue to be obedient over here in all these other areas. And then here's the promise of that. And He will make your paths straight. You see that? I hope you're encouraged here because God is saying, I want to guide you. I want to direct you. But if you stay riveted to Me, if you are committed to obey, even committed to obey before we ask for guidance. Is that how your logic works? Is that your order? It's not often mine. Am I committed to obey even before I ask God for guidance? And then God is saying that if that is in our heart, He's saying, don't worry. I'll make your path clear. I will make it plain. Remember, He is our Heavenly Father. Have you ever thought that He wants you to know His will more than you want to know His will? Just for contrast, Proverbs 28:26, Solomon says, those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. Jesus also gives us guidance in this, and there's a particular passage that I think is very encouraging. It's very pastoral, and it really helps me in terms of understanding guidance. He says this, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. So a big idea here is that he says, don't worry about the future. And what does worry and anxiety reflect in our hearts? It reflects not trusting in God's goodness, not trusting in His sovereignty. Worry about the future, it's a spiritual issue. And how do we battle this worry? We battle it through faith. We're to fight to believe that God has mercy for our troubles today. And what may come tomorrow, God will have new mercies for tomorrow. So instead of being anxious, instead of worrying, he's saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So that decision whether to take a math class or an art class, to look for a new job, that's not the main point of God's guidance. What he's telling us is, first of all, run hard after him. First of all, run hard after his commandments. First of all, run hard to glorify him with your life. To live according to his rules and not our own. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. So we've talked about God's providential will. We've talked about his moral will. But how do we make those decisions related to this personal will? And I see this as God lays out a game plan for us. So a football team calls timeout. The quarterback runs over to the coach. The coach gives him a play. He goes back in. He's got a play that he's to carry out. But within that play, as he assesses the playing field, he has options within that. It's a play, and he's going to run that play. There is a game plan. But within this personal realm, I hope it's encouraging to you, there's a lot more options than maybe we like to think about. It's not like this blueprint where everything is absolutely specific. There is a game plan, and he gives us freedom within that. As long as we stay within God's providential will and God's moral will, he gives us lots of room within that. So how does this work? And this is how it has worked in my life, and I've listed out, I'm sorry, six questions here that you can ask yourself, and some of them may be very obvious to you, but we want to get them all down. Does what I am considering align well with God's Word? His Word that is taking up more and more residence in my heart as I focus on his providential will and his moral will. Am I learning more? Am I growing in obedience and trust in all areas that he reveals to me with clarity? Have I prayed about it? Now, that's a really obvious one. I mean, I think most of us pray. I don't think I had to tell you to pray about it, but if you're dealing with a situation right now, maybe you are, and you've got a time frame, you are likely praying right now for this. I didn't need to tell you this, but I do have to ask, are you praying? That is a critical way of understanding God. Ask God, this God, this Heavenly Father who wants to communicate with you, ask him. Third, do I have a passion for it? My experience is that it's rare for God to lead us into something that we don't look forward to doing. It's my experience that God created us with unique passions, and he wants to bring those passions fulfillment, and he wants it to bring us joy. We should be excited about the decisions that we are considering. Have I sought counsel from wise men and wise women in my life? Proverbs says there is wisdom in the counsel of many. This is about community. I need to be engaged in the body. I need people around me who have the courage to speak truth into my life. And I need to have the courage to speak truth into other people's life. I would never make a big decision without a selected community of believers around me to weigh in on that decision. Do I have the talent and the skills for it? Oh, maybe I want to be a worship leader. Well, it aligns biblically. We're to have worship leaders. I prayed about it. Then I sought out wise counsel, people who have walked through life, and then maybe wise counsel, people who have sat next to me in church, and they say, I just want to tell you, that's an admirable goal, but you can't sing a lick. You got to find some other place to serve. So I have the talent and the skills for it. Do the circumstances make it a good opportunity? In other words, is it a yes, no, or not yet situation? So, what is a good time in your life to make this kind of change? When God called us here, we were waiting before leaving our last ministry, before we knew God was doing something, but we didn't start looking until we knew our daughter was going to be done, our youngest was going to be done with high school, because that was a good time of transition for us to come to CPC. So when I visited APU here this past week, I again, going nostalgic here, I thought back to 1982. When I was walking through college, I went to the seventh floor story of the humanities building at Cal State University Fullerton, and I went to an office of a professor, a professor I love, Dr. Ronald Rietveld. And Dr. Rietveld had been a graduate of Wheaton, and then he had moved west. He had been a pastor, and now he was a history professor. And his true love, his true passion was American history. In fact, Dr. Rietveld, when he was a young boy, 14, he found the last known picture of Abraham Lincoln lying in state. And he found it in an envelope in the back of a file cabinet in a library in Springfield, Illinois. I mean, this guy loved American history and loved Lincoln. And so I loved this guy, and I was a junior at that point, and I had been a Christian for 2 years. And so when I became a Christian, after I accepted Christ, I plugged into Christian community there, and I was learning more about God as I was in Bible studies, and I got involved in small groups on campus, and I found that I was just really enjoying meeting with people in groups. And you know how college ministry is, they move you into leadership probably a little too fast because you have a short time there. But I was moving in, and I was helping out with these groups, just encouraging, and I found I got so much encouragement when I was doing that. And I went up to Dr. Reeve, I said, I just love ministry so much, and you know what? I really don't like accounting, you know, which is what I was taking. And so I shared my heart with him, and, you know, I said, you know, I can't even imagine myself being a pastor. I can't even picture that. I remember I said that to my sister, and she's like, you? Are you kidding? But I love ministry, and I loved what I was doing with InterVarsity, and I said, what do I need to do? I'm a junior. I need to make a decision. And he said, Dan, I went to Wheaton, and then I became a pastor, and I was doing just fine. But I felt God calling me to the public university system so I could teach there. I could teach history, and I could share Christ and have that opportunity to do that in that context. So he went back to school. He went back to school, got his PhD, and he said, it was the best thing I ever did, and I still use my seminary education all the time, every week when I'm involved with my local church. And he said, think about, if you have the opportunity, just take a class. Just start out and see what God does. You'll never regret it. You'll always use it, no matter whether you're an accountant or whatever you do. So there I was in that little cramped office on the seventh floor of the Humanity Building. I remember I was between two metal file cabinets in this chair, and there he is, and he wheels his chair over. He just looks me in the eye, gets real close, he grabs my hand, and he prays for me right there in the office. And I'll never forget that. So 3 years later, I graduated from college. I had taken a year to work and kind of catch up on finances. And then I drove my car onto Biola University campus, and I parked it, and I walked into Talbot Theological Seminary, and I sat down for my very first theology class, and I loved it. And I mean, I was able to use all, I went the long route, and I went part-time, and I was able to use all the things that I was learning in my local church until God called me into pastoral ministry. So what's the bottom line in this whole guidance thing and wisdom from God? Live for God. Obey the scriptures. Think of others before yourself. Be holy. Love Jesus. And as you do these things, do whatever else you like. With whomever you like, wherever you like. And if you do that, you are walking in the will of God. We have been walking along with a young man named Jesse McQuiston. And Jesse attends our South Campus, and it's been such a privilege to be on the elder board. And Jesse has been meeting with our elder board here for a year, and because a year ago our elder board asked Jesse to go through this process to determine if he had the qualifications for elder and if he had the calling to be an elder at CPC. So Jesse attended these meetings. We engaged him. There's a picture of Jesse and Liz and their two daughters, Elle and Lucy. And they attend our South Campus. And we've watched Jesse serve. We've watched Jesse care for others. And like I said, we have engaged him. And we believe that Jesse meets the biblical qualifications for elder. And we also believe that Jesse is called to be an elder. And so here's where we invite you into this process before Jesse becomes an elder at CPC, as he's walking through these personal God's will things, is that you as a church family, we invite you to speak into this to complete our process. We want to hear from you affirmations that you have about Jesse, and as well, if you have any concerns. Address that goes right to our elder board. It's confidential, and you can do that, or you can feel free to talk to any of our elders, call them, talk to us in person, and we want to receive any feedback that you might have over the next 2 weeks. So we just appreciate you partnering with us in this process as we seek to lead you and serve you as elders. May God bless you in this journey to understand and be obedient to God's calling upon your life and his guidance every day. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we are thankful that you have saved us. You have brought us into a relationship with you. You have invited us to receive truth from you, to understand you, know you better, to learn to walk with you, to follow you, to obey you. I pray for every one of us here, and some of us here, we just need to land on that, to land on obedience to your moral will. And we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would challenge each of us in that area, and that you would draw us into a closer relationship with you in terms of understanding your heart and how you operate in the world and how it involves us. Lord, I know there's people here that are having to make very difficult decisions and feeling pressure. May you just give them peace right now as they lean into you and are convicted to trust you more. May they find freedom and may they find a clear path in that as they follow. May following you and being about your will truly be the desire of our heart. And may we see the great promises fulfilled in that. And may we live with no regrets. Thank you for your grace and mercy as you bring this topic to all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.